Well, we were going to start here.
Obviously, my teammates. It always goes back to my teammates and everything that they've done for me. And it's so fun to be able to play with them. And I'm so excited to be able to wear the Oilers jersey for the next 9 years of my life and play with some of the greatest guys that I know. And I can't wait to get back at it.
Really is a rebirth in Edmonton. Connor McDavid, we carried that announcement live off the top about 3 hours ago. Welcome back. It's the final hour of the show. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690, ahead of the Impact this week with Noel Butler, and the Impact in Houston, deep in the heart of Texas, with Rick Moffitt and Grant Needham. Melnick, Francis, Mitch Gallo is here, Dave Trentadue helping us out. And much like Aaron Ward, who we said goodbye to for the summer earlier today, Gord Miller every Wednesday on Melnick in the afternoon. It's always a treat in the final hour because, to be honest with you, sometimes the final hour begins to drag. And then Gord comes on, and it's, you better grab a cup of coffee between 5:55 and Miller time. How you doing?
I'm good. It drags? Really?
Well, not your.
Oh.
Not your spot. Occasionally,
I'm here to pick it up.
That's right. Occasionally, the fourth hour kind of, you know, we're running on empty on the fourth hour.
I got to say, Mitch, I'm sure all those people that work, you know, 8 to 6 every day are really feeling badly for you that hour 4 of your work day really starts to drag.
Yeah, you know, there's this guy named Bob McCowan in Toronto. He makes about $1 million a year. How many hours is he on the air for? Do you know?
I have no idea. I haven't heard the man in years.
Not allowed, not permitted in the contract, in the non-compete. 3 hours a day. What do the guys in Toronto do, 4 to 7? The Hayes and O'Neill and...
Well, they have mail-it-in Friday, they call it. They freely admit that Friday is mail-it-in.
And I should point out, we go into summer hours as of Monday, like everybody else in this country, almost 3 to 6.
You know what I'm going to do, Mitch?
What's that?
Sometime, I'm going to come to Montreal for the week. And I'll come on with you. I'll co-host with you.
That would be cool. That would be really, really cool.
Yeah, I will do that sometime.
Okay, thank you for that. And don't forget, we have to get together. I lost a bet, and I owe Gord Miller a Moishe steak, among other things.
No, we're not getting together because you lost a bet. You're buying me dinner because you lost a bet.
That's
like, the bet wasn't if you lose, you have to hang out with me. That wasn't
the... All right, just moments ago, the Montreal Canadiens and Alex Galchenyuk agree to a new 3-year contract. Do you have more details in front of you, Mitch?
Yeah, it's a 3-year deal, and it's worth an average of $4.9 million.
Okay. Gallo is somewhat perplexed over this.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I just get confused when it comes to a lot of these young players and the deals that they've been given. Like, I don't understand why you would not take advantage of restricted free agent. Like, Galchenyuk now is going to be an unrestricted free agent at the age of 26 years old. It just seems like managing him along the timeline contract-wise, they didn't do a really good job here.
Right. So the issue is when you play guys young, you're going to pay earlier. So if you, let's just say you draft a guy in the first round this year, he goes back to junior for 2 years, then he plays a year and a half in the American League. Unless he does something eye-popping in a year and a half in the NHL, he's not going to make a lot in his second contract. But when they play as 18- and 19-year-olds and they have decent years, the amazing thing to me is when a team has leverage, it's bad form. It's offensive to use it. The player gets insulted. When the player has leverage, it's fully expected they'll use it. 30 players filed for salary arbitration today. When teams take players to arbitration, it's considered this horrible affront. Like, Roberto Luongo is still incensed that the Florida Panthers took him to arbitration.
Yeah, it's part of the agreement. It's part of the process.
When you have leverage, use it. I mean, either way, right? I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work. But suddenly, when you use leverage on a restricted free agent, I'm insulted. Okay, well, then you're insulted.
I think it's quite clear that the Canadians were, again, Gord wasn't here when we talked about this yesterday. So, Mitch, if you want to paraphrase basically the conversation we had at the beginning of the show yesterday about Galchenyuk and the Habs.
Yeah, I know the Canadians were actively shopping him, and they had a couple deals that they would have done, which would have underwhelmed Canadian fans. And the appetite for other GMs to trade for Galchenyuk was very, very low.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's a couple of reasons for that. It's not clear what position he's playing. He had an okay year, but not a blockbuster year.
Yeah, he was having a good year. He got hurt, and then it was terrible.
Yeah, so he had an okay year. right?
Overall, he had a I think based on coming off a 30 goal season, I think people expected another step forward in that direction.
Right. Yeah. But I think if you're a Montreal fan, I think you're encouraged that he's coming back. I hope he gets a chance to play center. And maybe they can put some of this awkwardness behind them, because it seems to be sort of a strange dance between the Canadiens and Galchenyuk. So now he's got under contract for 3 years, and maybe they can sort it out. He's a good player. It's hard to get value for good players. And so I think you're better off, obviously, with him than without him and whatever you would have got back, which, as Mitch said, probably wasn't as good as Galchenyuk.
And agreed on all of that. My thing here is he's 23 years old, and we see a lot of these young players, Gord, get locked up to long-term deals. So I just believe the Canadiens should have made a decision. Either they're keeping him in the short term, you give him a one-year deal, because he said he'd be open to a one-year deal, and then explore the RFA status again this summer, or extend him for 7 or 8 years and get the deal done, because he's a young 23-year-old kid. This way, they're going to put him as an unrestricted free agent in his prime. He's going to have all the power in negotiations.
Well, except you have the exclusive right to negotiate with him in that last year.
Yeah, sure. like what they just did with Carey Price.
Right. What they just did with Carey Price. So, I think this is, it's pretty good value. The term is not crazy. What if you sign Galchenyuk to a 7-year deal and he never scores 20 goals again?
There was no way, the way that they feel about him, that they were going to go that way. There's just zero chance of them doing that. I think this is a saw off, and it's reasonable.
It's a negotiation, and it seems like they, both sides probably want a little more out of the deal, and that's probably the sign of a good deal. So, Montreal needs to figure out the center ice position, and Galchenyuk can. Who else is out there? I keep asking Montreal fans, okay, you're not crazy about Galchenyuk. Who do you like better? And what are you prepared to give up to get him?
When we were discussing this after the year, Gord, and without having any inside knowledge, I was looking at Claude Julien playing a pretty significant role in what they were going to do with Galchenyuk. And it looks, again, without knowing, it looks like Julien has given his stamp of approval. Again, we don't know center or wing. Hopefully they clear that up. But do you think Julien had an impact on this?
Oh, for sure. Marc Bergevin wasn't going to saddle his coach with a guy he doesn't like. Or doesn't want, right? He's not going to,
Of course.
Claude's very pragmatic, too. Claude Julien's a very pragmatic guy. He's, he wants to win, and he wants guys that can help him win. Now, you always want, better players, but sometimes you get what you get. I think there's a lot there for Galchenyuk. I think too much is made of his defensive deficiencies. And I remember Scotty Bowman saying, I can teach a guy to play defense. I can't teach him to score.
Yeah, I think we had this discussion a little bit prior to one of the playoff games when you and Ray joined us in the fan jam. It is coaches, lifelong coaches, are conservative by nature, and they're not crazy about guys who can freelance their way out of a system, and they concentrate more on the turnovers that result in goals as opposed to what they're supposed to be paid to do, and that's score goals. And it's unfortunate.
I say this about Erik Karlsson all the time. It's like Picasso. I don't care how much paint he spilled. I care what wound up on the canvas.
Yeah, those are some strange paintings, but they are beautiful. All right?
Worth a lot of money, too.
No kidding.
If you have one in your living room, you're probably living in a pretty nice house.
Do you know anybody who has a Picasso?
I do.
You keep pretty good company there, Gord. So, once again, Alex Galchenyuk locked up, not necessarily as a HAB, but locked up contract-wise for the next 3 years for under $5 million. So that leaves Andrei Markov. And talk about a strange dance. This is Andrei Markov representing himself, although Sergei Berezin is in his ear, and not finding anything yet. What does that tell you?
Well, he's 38. I think he'll get something. If I'm Markov, Montreal is your best option. Montreal makes the most sense. First of all, because think about legacy, too. If you stay with the Canadiens, chances are you'll work for them when your career is done. So, no, but with any team, I'm not saying it's just Montreal's like that, but any team. if you're a lifelong Montreal Canadian, as well as he's done for them, when your career's over, they're going to want you to stick around. You're part of their culture.
Right.
I just don't know how much of a, if Markov wants to make the kind of money he's been making, I mean, who else that age is getting it?
That's a good point. How many 38?
I guess Patrick Marleau did, but I mean, he hasn't missed a game in 9 years.
Yeah, when Markov missed almost two full seasons. Andrei Markov at 38 is coming off a 5.75 salary. How many players are making that at his age? That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, don't forget, if you sign a multi-year deal, it counts against the cap no matter what.
Right.
Right? If he retires, whatever, unless it's long-term injury, it counts against the cap. So, I mean, you know, Toronto's taking a gamble on Marleau because that 6.5 is on their cap unless they can trade it or if they can put him on LTI.
All right. How about the McDavid contract? I don't know how many $100 million contracts there have been, but I do believe this is the first one that's under 10 years in length. He's got...
Because Suter and Parisi. Well, here's the thing. And you know I don't like the salary cap, and here's why. Connor McDavid's entitled to make whatever he can in the open market. But the problem is there's a salary cap, and so he has to balance that against wanting to win. The question now for Edmonton is okay, you got McDavid done. What does Draisaitl come in at? And if Draisaitl comes in at anything over 8.5, you're in the Chicago conundrum where you're paying two guys $21 million. And in that situation, you can't afford any mistakes, and Edmonton has one. Milan Lucic is probably a mistake at $7 million. You can't buy your way out of it. It's almost all signing bonus. It's all no move. I mean, it is virtually, you'd have to dynamite him out of it. And so that's the problem. I mean, it's Connor McDavid's worth that salary, I mean, to that franchise. But the problem is now it ties their hands. It really does. Yeah. And that's not his fault.
And he took less.
He did take less. I hate the cap. I really do. I either have a soft cap that recognizes the ability to re-sign players, only part of it counts against the cap.
Have a franchise tag or something.
Have a franchise, whatever. Do whatever, but I don't like this.
Yeah.
When you finally have some success, you gotta unload guys.
And, of course, the weekend on Sunday, was anything restful after this announcement?
You know, I feel, of anybody, I feel like I'm most suitable to deal with this. It's hard at times, but other times it's the most fun you're going to have, I think, in the entire NHL is playing well in Montreal, and there's nothing that compares to it.
10.5 in the Kane-Taze category for Carey Price for presumably the rest of his career, Gord Miller. And I can recall a hearing and reading concerns about Carey Price not wanting to re-sign here because there's no indication that this team is ready to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's the way fans are in this city. But now that he has committed, we know how you feel about the two guys making 10.5. Can the Habs get away with this, paying their goalie 10.5?
They can. Now you're pretty much all in on Price, Weber, and one more star player. I don't mind three guys making 24. It's two guys making 22. That's a problem.
Ten
or two guys making 21. Sorry.
Yeah, the Blackhawks guys, right?
Yeah, Kane and Taves. Again, you know, in Montreal's case, I mean, making Carey Price the highest paid goaltender in the league makes sense. He is the best goaltender in the NHL. I've said this before on your show. He is the goaltender that every other team in the league, I believe, would trade the goaltender for. I believe every other team in the NHL would rather have Carey Price than the goalie they have. Doesn't mean they don't like their goaltender. They just like Carey Price better. So in that case, he's worth it. Philosophically, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it to spend that much money on goaltending? Because historically, that is not proven to be a reliable indicator of success. In a lot of cases, the team that wins the Stanley Cup has cheap goaltending. And we've seen it, you know, I mean, Matt Murray won the Stanley Cup the last 2 years. We've seen, you know, Antti Niemi win the Stanley Cup in 2010. We've seen a lot of goaltenders win of late who aren't in that upper echelon. So, philosophically, some teams don't believe in spending that much on goaltending. But I think in Montreal's case, Carey Price deserves to be an exception.
Well, I think you absolutely have to make sure you have him when your center position is the state that it's in.
Yeah, I think so. And I think also you have to send a statement to your fans. I mean, Carey Price is going to be the last guy to wear 31 in Montreal. Agreed?
100%, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think, he's going to go down as one of the great players in the last 40 years, or 50 years for the Montreal Canadiens. And he deserves to be a lifelong Hab. And now can you draft and develop a lineup around him of championship caliber? And that's an open question.
And maybe we'll have a better answer to that the next time we hook up on the air.
Wow.
Late September.
What are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do on Wednesdays? when things start to drag? Like, I don't know.
We got Kavis Reid. Kavis Reid is with us every Wednesday during the CFL season.
Kavis is very entertaining.
He
was an entertaining player.
What else we got on Wednesday? We got Bill Lee. We still have Bill Lee every day during the baseball season.
You're okay. Yeah. You're okay. See, Bill, you don't need me.
No, but if you would like to come to town and co-host for a week, make sure I'm here, huh?
Yeah, that could be. You're like Johnny Carson. You're like on once every 10 days, right? So,
no, it's in August. There's a pretty good chance I won't be here, unless it's very late in August.
Okay. Well, it might not be this summer. We'll have to figure.
We'll work on it. Yeah, it's amazing. Everybody wants to hit the. Aaron Ward is trying to work out an arrangement where he's coming in so he can drink Jameson at Hurley's one night.
Does he know you can drink Jameson anywhere? Just saying. Come to think of it, I might just do that right now.
Well, a cheers to you, Gord Miller. Thanks for a great year.
My pleasure. Really enjoy being on with you guys, and have a great summer. And to all the people in Montreal, have a very happy and safe summertime, and enjoy all that Montreal has to offer, because there's a lot to it.
All the best, Gord, to you and your family. Thank you.